This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, you have made it through the weekend, and isn't it so exciting to start the work week? Of course, we have a great show planned for you tonight, as we always do on a Medal of Honor Monday, and that's coming up an hour from now. We are going to do a little historical rewind to start the show, because I know everyone has Israel, Iran on their mind. Where are we going? What are my feelings? What a regime change? No regime change. Where's all this stuff going? The Iranian response, all that, and so much more is coming up in at least the first hour. It's going to take us a while to get through all that, but we're going to give a little bit of a historical perspective on those things. And then we're going to talk about some domestic issues that matter a lot. Technology still run by the dirty communists, members of Congress like Nancy Pelosi, clearly insider trading, the state of the Democrat Party. One blue area is proving why you must move if you can. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I have email after email after email about Iran. This guy says, I've become more anti-war after 19 years. What are your thoughts on this after a week? This guy says, boy, Jesse, did you ever nail it? That's because I told everyone last week that it was coming. We were going to start dropping bombs. Jesse, your take on Iran being bombed this weekend was incredible. That's why I listed all the... Okay, so there's a lot. There's a lot on your mind. And so I'm warning you now, the history we're about to do is heading in that direction. Because regime change is a term that's being thrown around a lot in various ways. There are a lot of people out there saying, we're not in the regime change business, we're not doing that.
This wasn't a regime change move. This was designed to degrade and or destroy three nuclear sites related to their nuclear weaponization ambitions. I don't like the regime, but we're not into the regime change business here.
Okay, that's pretty clear from the Secretary of State. Pete Hegseth came out and said this.
This mission was not and has not been about regime change. The president authorized a precision operation.
Okay. There's been a lot of that talk. Sounds good. But there's some mixed messaging out there, of course. Donald Trump came out, social media. This is what he said. It's not politically correct to use the term regime change. But if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? Okay. We have several U.S. senators saying this.
We most certainly need to have regime change in Iran. This is the same regime that's threatened America and Americans.
It's time for regime change. And I believe that this president should be given a fair amount of leeway to affect that.
It's time to close the chapter on the Iranian Ayatollah and his henchmen. Let's close that chapter soon and start a new chapter in the Mideast, one of tolerance, hope, and peace.
Okay. Let's pause everything for a moment. And let's discuss history in a couple different ways, because we're going to talk about getting into a war while pretending like you don't want to get into war. We're going to talk about regime change. We're going to talk about lies. We're going to approach this whole thing as we have the entire time, not hysterical, not no war ever, and not and kill them all and that God sort them out of it. No, not doing that. We're going to approach this soberly. And we're going to analyze this like adults, you and me. First, let's go with the regime change aspect of it. Why is that even a thing? Well, let's do some history.
This will be very, very basic. For people who know history, you will know this. For those who don't, look, history's not taught very well in most schools. For those who don't, this might be some new information. Let's rewind all the way back to the early 1900s. World War I is what we're doing here. Germany, France, Britain, Russia, Austria-Hungary, that was a country back then, they all get in a nasty, nasty hot war known as World War I. It's bad. Millions of people are dying. The world is horrified. The world is horrified, okay? The world had never, ever seen casualty numbers like this. It blew people away that was even possible. All right, World War I ends. It ends, and Germany lost. Germany lost, and the people who won, the Frances, the Britons, us, we made a choice. And this choice has been crushed because hindsight is 20/20 and because of how it worked out in the end. But the thinking at the time was this. We've all lost a lot of lives. We've all lost a lot of treasure here. It was clearly Germany's fault, which, let's pause for a second, and that's debatable. But anyway, at the time, it's clearly Germany's fault. Germany was the bad guy. Germany did all this. It's all the dirty Germans' fault. So, since it was their fault, shouldn't they be punished for it? Shouldn't they pay for everything? Shouldn't they? And so, brutal punishment was brought down on Germany from us, from France, from Britain. Brutal punishment. The kind of punishment, first of all, the reparations. The other nations essentially told Germany, hey, sorry you lost. You need to pay for everything. Our war, your war, everything. Now, this is a country whose economy is already in shambles. You just got done fighting a multi-year world war. Economy's already bad. And then we tell them, hey, you need to pay for everything. This would be the equivalent of you declare bankruptcy because you've lost it all. You can't pay your bills. And then your mother shows up and tells you that you owe her $250,000 because she spent all that time raising you. You don't have a penny at this point in time. So we did that. Oh, but we did something else that may have been as damaging as the reparations. We said, by the way, on top of all this money you're going to need to pay, we're going to go ahead and take all your most valuable territory. So that would be the equivalent of your mother showing up after you declared bankruptcy, demanding $250,000, and then work calling you that day and saying, by the way, you're fired. We took away the most valuable territory, the most valuable parts of their economy. It was a brutal chastisement of Germany. How about that, Chris? College word, chastisement. Anyway, we crushed Germany. Germany, it's all your fault. We crushed them. And I know we all look back now and talk about how horrible that decision was. I get that. At the time, it made sense to people. Germany, it's all your fault. You pay. Okay. Where'd that lead? Well, you took a large, modern country and you beat them up. And once you had beaten them up, you then started kicking dirt in their face and spitting on them. The people of Germany were crushed, economically crushed, spiritually crushed, national pride wounded beyond measure. A down and out people. You've seen, if you haven't seen, I would actually encourage you to go look this up, pictures online of people in Germany, post-World War I Germany, walking around with wheelbarrows full of cash. Are these rich people? No. The cash was so worthless, people would haul it around and start fires with it. You think you've got inflation problems? Which I know you do. I'm not dismissing those, but they knew about inflation. A people completely smashed. And then, because they were down and out, this happens when a country is down and out. Just a heads up, because Germany was down and out, groups started to fight for power. different groups. There were communist groups. Obviously, you know about the Nazis. You know who ends up, in hindsight, who ends up winning this whole thing. But the Nazis weren't the only group in Germany fighting for power. There were many different groups in Germany fighting for power. But all of them, virtually all of them, were selling a similar message. There was a common thread in all the messaging. And the common thread was, you shouldn't have to live like this. You shouldn't have to take this. This shouldn't be this way. You poor, you beaten down, wheelbarrows full of cash because our money's worth this. There should be something better. And of course, you know, spoiler alert, you know how that ended up. An insane, hateful demagogue named Adolf Hitler, who gave an amazing speech. He was infamous for it. He started out in the beer halls giving it, and he got so famous for his speeches, people would gather around just to hear him. He became the voice of this growing Nazi party. Nazis take over Europe. Nazis get us all into World War II, just fast-forwarding through all these things. Then we end up post-World War II. We will start again there in just a moment. Like I said, this is a very abridged history. I realize I glossed over just a couple things. Do you geek out on history like this? Hillsdale will teach you in-depth things you never knew. And by the way, they will teach you things you never knew. I got this email about Hillsdale. I love this because it's the exact same thing happened to me. This lady said, Jesse, I've been watching several free courses from Hillsdale College, and they're all very good, but my favorite by far is Understanding Capitalism. The course was incredible. I think it should be required content. Even though I studied business and economics in college, there was so much I didn't know. She said, thanks for always making me laugh. When you take a free course from Hillsdale, you will learn things. I don't care how much you think you know. I'm floored at what I don't know every time I take one. And they're free. No cost. More than 40 courses online at no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is how you get those. All right? All right. We'll continue from there, and we're going to tie all this stuff in. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I blew out my flip-flop, stepped on a pop-top.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Reminding you, you can email us, and you should. We love your emails, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are talking in a very roundabout way, Israel, Iran, where we're going, where we're at. But first, we're addressing the idea, the concept of regime change. That term is being thrown around. We're not doing it. We are doing it. Well, I think we need it. No, we'd never do that thing. Okay, so where did it come from? We talked about post-World War I in the opening of the show. Post-World War I, we decided, well, regime change, that's your friggin' problem. We're just going to bomb the living daylights out of you, Germany. You lost World War I. Give us all your money. Screw you. It's your problem now. That led directly to the rise of Adolf Hitler in Nazi Germany. Then World War II comes. The largest, most horrible, most destructive event in all of human history. Death and carnage like people had never seen. And by the time that war was done, they were looking at each other. The leaders of the world were looking at each other. And with that kind of death, with that kind of sorrow and sadness, you start asking questions. Could we have avoided this? What did we do wrong? This was something that should have never happened. So what did we do wrong? And they came to the conclusion, a conclusion that is widely accepted today, that it was that punishment of Germany after World War I that led to Hitler's rise. Therefore, once you defeat a nation in war, you should step in and help them rebuild their country in a different way. Now, of course, they're going to have to give up some things and whatnot, but you're going to help them form a new government. Part of it will be their choice, part of it will be yours, but help them build a new government. Help them build a new country. It's an odd thing, but understandable. And this is going to sound like I'm defending regime change, but I'm explaining how this idea came to be. Let's simply look at Japan post-World War II. Now, we did the same thing in Europe. That's a little different. But in Japan post-World War II, remember, we pounded Japan to dust. Everybody knows about the two atom bombs. The atom bombs were a fraction of what we did to Japan. We carpet bombed almost every Japanese major city. We pulverized that country. They give up. And we, as a country, did one of the kindest things I think a major country has ever done. We moved in just to help them rebuild. And then when we were done, we moved out. I'm not even kidding. Douglas MacArthur, who everybody knows, General MacArthur, really headed up a lot of this whole thing. But the United States of America moved into Japan, not to conquer it, not to take it over, to say, hey, nah, you're not going to be able to have an emperor anymore. That's a no. But we'll help you build a new government. Well, in fact, all these cities that American bombs have just vaporized, we'll help you build those too. Let's rebuild this thing. And once we rebuilt Japan, we moved out. For the most part, I realize we still have a presence there in Okinawa. But for the most part, America said, hey, glad we got you back on your feet. Glad hostilities are over. We're going home. Now, that is a really, really important thing to understand about American foreign policy. Now, I'm not just talking history because I nerd out on it. I'm talking about this specific time because this specific time has governed so much of how we view foreign policy and specifically war now. Because how has it worked out for us, what we did in Japan? Pretty freaking well. Japan is not only a really cool country, which I adore, but they are a close ally now, a very close ally, and a strategically necessary military ally in an area of the world where China can dominate it. What we did with Japan post-World War II, it's hard to describe it as anything but an unbelievable success. We rebuilt, we helped them, we're friends now. It worked out for everybody. It worked out for everybody. And you know what? That was regime change. There's no other way to look at it. We did a regime change, and it worked. And still works today. And works very well. Now let's fast forward. Vietnam comes. And yes, we are out to stop communist aggression. And South Vietnam is going to be our friend in this whole endeavor. We're going to stop this North Vietnamese aggression. But South Vietnam had a terribly corrupt government. Terribly corrupt government. Look, the North Vietnamese government was horrible and evil. South Vietnamese government was also horrible, corrupt, and evil. We did the best we could to sell that to the people of South Vietnam, and our inability to sell that to them, it was a contributing factor in us losing in Vietnam. Now let's get past Vietnam and get to the war on terror. And you remember well 9/11. We wake up, we have our towers destroyed by some dirtball terrorist group named Al-Qaeda, and we're angry, we're sad, and we want to know who's responsible. And we'll talk about that from there and regime change and how all this came to be. Before we talk about any of that, I want to talk to you really quickly about the clock is ticking. Independence Day is almost here. And I really, really want you to nominate a veteran in your life or yourself to receive a free American flag from Pure Talk. Pure Talk does this kind of stuff all the time. It's part of why I just love them. They're not just a cell phone company, you know, a mobile provider. They're not just better than Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. They genuinely care. They care all the way about our troops, about this country. And right now, when you go to puretalk.com/nominate, you can nominate a veteran to receive an Allegiance flag, an American-made American flag from Pure Talk. We're already getting emails from people who've gotten these. And, man, you want to talk about blessing a veteran, making a Veterans Day. It may sound simple. It's not. That triangular box shows up, and I'm telling you, it tugs at you. PureTalk.com/nominate. And while you're at it, switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can download any part of the show if you miss it on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Doing a little rewind here, discussing American foreign policy, what it was. How did all this regime change talk come to be? So we did World War I, and we learned painful lessons from there. And then we did World War II, and we learned lessons on how we handle the aftermath. And the lesson, the ultimate lesson learned by America, really the world, was you can't just beat somebody up. When you beat them up, you need to help them back up when they're done. After they've given up, help them up. Get them dressed up, spruced up, get them back on their feet. Otherwise, they may come back and take revenge on you one day. Hitler, another Hitler may rise, all right? Brings us to the GWAT, the Global War on Terror, the GWAT. The towers go down on 9/11. George Bush, he's president at the time, you remember all this, decides, hey, let's go into Afghanistan and let's go get this Osama bin Laden guy. Now, this may be applicable to today. We don't know. I hope it's not, but it may be. We went in there doing it the right way. We handled it initially the right way. And what I mean by the right way was there was no topple government talk. There was no regime change talk. We sent in all the spec ops types, all the Green Berets, the spooks, the CIA guys, the SEALs. We sent in all those guys. And they were in there for a mission, a specific mission, and that mission was hunt down and kill Osama bin Laden. And I don't think anybody, or at least not many people, would have an issue with that. The man responsible for killing 3,000 Americans on 9/11, our country has to go kill him. You have to do that to send a message to anyone else who may consider doing it. The world has to know you do something like that, you will die. I demand that of my government. I demand my government go do those kinds of things. Otherwise, why would I even be a citizen? But somewhere along the way, and we can all debate reasons for this, somewhere along the way, we decided, you know, forget about this small footprint, take out bin Laden stuff. Why don't we remove this Afghanistan government, these Taliban guys, why don't we just get rid of all these people and then, like we did in Japan, like we did in Europe, we'll get rid of the bad guys and we'll build them something new. We may even have a wonderful ally. And I know you're probably rolling your eyes now, again, hindsight 2020 being what it is. And of course, same thing in Iraq. Saddam Hussein's a bad guy, was a bad guy by any measure. We should take him out. He's evil, he's this, he's that. Okay, no argument there. Well, let's just go take him out, wipe out his army. And then, after we've taken out the bad guy, just like we did in Japan, just like we did in World War II, we will bring a new form of government. We'll help them rebuild. And it'll all work out. But it didn't all work out, did it? By any measure, the global war on terror was not a success. And that friggin' guts me to say. Probably, I doubt very much you take any pleasure in hearing it, whether you fought in it or not. It's not pleasant to think about, but we didn't replace the Afghan government and rebuild it. We spent 20 years there, and the same group we were going to kick out took over 5 seconds after we left. Iraq, obviously, you know all that. What went wrong? A lot of things went wrong. One of the main things that went wrong was we didn't take into account the type of people we were dealing with, the type of culture we were dealing with. And here's what I mean. In Japan, Japan's a very different society, famously different. I love them for their differences, but some people don't care for it. I think they're a fascinating, wonderful people. They are very moral people. Let me clarify this. I'm not saying they're any better than Americans or anything else, but they do have a code there, a moral code. Big families, grandparents, parents, kids, close. They are very attached to their country. They were, for lack of a better way to put it, they were a people ripe for a new, better form of government. They were a people that was ready to accept it and thrive with it. They were ready for it. That's not Afghanistan. Totally different history there. Totally different type of people. Tribal conflict, religious aspects to it, religious divisions. Totally different kind of society. Exact same thing in Iraq. Exact same thing. We have Shiites versus Sunnis at Saddam's bath party. And then, of course, Iran gets involved there. And you have the jihadists. And you didn't have this homogenous, unified society of people who were already prepped and ready for something better. I'll put it to you this way. A good career. What's a good career? Let's call it an air traffic controller. They make good money, right? They make very good money. And I realize it's a stressful job, but it's a good job. Now, there are two different people in front of me. One guy, completely put together, comes from a great family, were hard work, did some sports, has a good moral founding, goes to church every Sunday. Sorry, Chris. Goes to church on every Sunday. I hand him an air traffic controller job. Hey, here you go. We're going to put you through some training, and then boom, here's a $150,000 a year job. There you go. How's that guy going to do? You've never even met him. I just made him up in my mind. He's probably going to do okay, isn't he? Then there's another guy. Disastrous family life. He's been divorced 4 times. In and out of rehab several times his entire life. Been in jail a few times. I offer him the exact same deal. Hey, we're going to train you up for 2 months and then into the tower you go. How's he going to do? He's not ready. He's not ready for that job. Doesn't matter what you do. He's not ready for the job. Regime change can work. And it can't work. It can end with a great guy having a wonderful job. And it can end with 2 planes colliding and 600 people dying. Is the guy ready or not? That brings us to where we are now. Where we are, where we're going. Israel, remember, we have different interests out there too, and different interests inside of each country. Israel, understandably, wants the Iranian regime gone. It's a very understandable thing. If you're in that country and every day it's a new stabbing, a new terrorist attack, a new threat, a new this, a new that, and 90% of the threats you receive and attacks you receive are in some way connected to, funded by, thought up by Iran, the same country. Well, it's the most understandable thing in the world when given an opportunity to take out that government that's been doing that to you, that you would want to step up and say, okay, it's on now, boys, especially after October 7th, especially after we watch 1,000 people die, especially after, you know what? We are done. Opportunities here. There's more of an appetite for it nationally and internationally than we've ever had before. Let's go kill all of Iranians' leadership. So that's one motivation, and it's an understandable motivation. And then let's talk about us here at home. The tightrope Donald Trump has to walk. With competing interests and where we are and where we're going. We'll continue this in a moment. Before we continue this, let's remember that because of relief factor, living with pain is a choice now. It is a choice. It's understandable to think that it's always going to be there. My back's just always going to hurt. I got a bad back. My knee's always going to bother me. I'm always going to be rubbing it, flexing my leg. I'm going to have to be careful. If I go up or down too many stairs, that's a lie. You think you have to accept it because you haven't tried Relief Factor yet. 100% drug-free. We're not talking about masking the pain. No more of that nonsense. It's terrible for your body. No more ignoring it. It's terrible for your life. Take care of it. Go after the root of it. Relief Factor will build up in your system. The longer you take it, the better it works. When you call 1-800-4-RELIEF, you're not signing up for a lifetime subscription. You're buying 3 weeks. That's it. 3 weeks. $19.95. 3 weeks of it. Take it for 3 weeks and tell me how that knee feels. Go to relieffactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can and should email the show your love, your hate, your death threats, whatever you'd like, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So back to our present situation here. Israel wants the Iranian regime gone. I understand earlier today, I'm sure you already saw the former, the Shah, the guy who would take over, is calling for regime change. We have a lot of very powerful men in our country calling for regime change.
We most certainly need to have regime change in Iran. This is the same regime that's threatened America and Americans.
It's time for regime change. And I believe that this president should be given a fair amount of leeway to effect that.
It's time to close the chapter on the Iranian Ayatollah and his henchmen. Let's close that chapter soon and start a new chapter in the Mideast, one of tolerance, hope, and peace.
Got pundits all over the television shit. Television set, not shit. Shit is not, that's not a thing. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, here they are.
How do you feel about regime change as a U.S. goal?
Well, I think it should be America's declared policy. The regime itself is the problem here. It has been all along.
Okay. So where does Donald Trump go from here? How do we handle things from here? Well, what Donald Trump very clearly wanted and wants, what he wanted was, let me go drop a few bombs and call it good. We practically screamed that. We dropped a few bombs, these big bunker buster bombs, fired all these Tomahawk missiles, wiped out these nuclear facilities they had, and then everybody in this administration came out and said, all right, you better let that be it. Don't attack us back. Hey, we're good now, right? We're good now.
But then, of course, John, if the Iranians attack us, they're going to be met with overwhelming force. And I don't think the president could be clear about this. If you look at what we did yesterday, John, we did not attack the nation of Iran. We did not attack any civilian targets. We didn't even attack military targets outside of the three nuclear weapons facilities that we thought were important to accomplish our goal of preventing Iran from having a nuclear weapon. So how Iran...
All right, what's he saying there? I understand that can be a little shoulder shrug inducing when you hear, well, we didn't even attack Iran. We just bombed their nuclear facilities. But what are they doing? Donald Trump, the Trump administration, clearly wants that to be it. He wants to walk the tightrope of, hey, we got involved. We helped. Iran now can't have a nuclear weapon. We helped our ally Israel. Look at us. Look at what we did. We did it at virtually no risk to us. We're good now, right? Hey, Iran, we're good now, right? And Iran, with that attack earlier today, I'm sure you already saw, in case you didn't, they launched 6 missiles at Qatar. They warned publicly they were getting ready to attack us. They launched 6 missiles at our base in Qatar. They launched 6 missiles at our people. But they were all easily intercepted. Nobody hurt. And it almost looks like a face-saving thing for Iran. It almost looked like Iran saying, hey, we told you we were going to hit you back for what you did. Now we did, and now we're definitely good. So we might be good. But here is the issue. And it's a big issue. And I don't know where we're going to go. The big issue is... there are a lot of voices out there and a lot of people who hold power out there with motivations that are different from the Trump administration's motivations. The Trump administration, J.D. Vance in particular, they are aware, very aware, that America itself, America is totally fine, and every poll shows this, America is totally fine, the American people are totally fine dropping some bombs on Iranian nuclear facilities. That has overwhelming popular support in this country. The American people saw that and said, yeah, sounds good, get them. They are also very, very aware. The second American boots touch the ground in Iran, that public support vanishes. That's why J.D. Vance threw this in.
I certainly empathize with Americans who are exhausted after 25 years of foreign entanglements in the Middle East. I understand the concern, but the difference is that back then we had dumb presidents, and now we have a president who actually knows how to accomplish America's national security.
The Trump administration wants to be done. Show up, drop the kids off at the pool, meaning drop a couple bunker buster bombs, go home, and call it a day. That's not what Israel wants. That's not what the former leader of Iran wants. Well, his son. Is that what American senators want? Certainly doesn't sound like it. Those senators, those I keep playing this little montage, James Lankford, Tom Tillis, Lindsey Graham. You know what all three of those guys have in common?
We most certainly need to have regime change in Iran. This is the same regime that's threatened America and Americans.
It's time for regime change. And I believe that this...
Yeah, you got it. They're all Republicans. I don't know where this is going to go. And yes, that rhymed, Chris. I can see the admiration on your face. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't. Nobody does. I have a pretty good gauge on what the Trump administration wants. But remember, they're not the only ones calling the shots. What about the intelligence community? What do you think they want? How has the American intelligence community operated when it comes to foreign entanglements? Trying to get us out of them or trying to keep us in them? The Pentagon. I realize Pete Hegseth has the right idea, certainly saying the right things.
This mission was not and has not been about regime change.
Everyone at the Pentagon feel that way? How have all those wonderful generals and admirals at the Pentagon, how have they handled America's foreign entanglements? Trying to get us out of them? I don't know where we're going to go from here. I know the journey is dangerous, and we will see where it goes. All right? We're going to just stay with it and see where it goes. I am, after Medal of Honor Monday, I am going to bring up another uncomfortable historical thing. And it may make you squirm in your chair a little bit, but it's worth discussing. But we need to go do Medal of Honor Monday first, and we need to honor a hero first. Before we get to that, we need to take care of our dogs with actual nutrition. Why do you think your dog food is brown? How did I know that? Because all dog food is brown. It's not because I'm smart. Dog food's brown. Why? Because they kill everything in it. Why? Because it lasts longer on the shelf. Fresh things? You know, it's just the same way it works for human food. Fresh things, things that aren't loaded with preservatives, they go bad quickly. That's part of how it works. You load something down with preservatives, you kill everything in it. You know, you've seen those pictures of the fast food cheeseburger that looks the same after 25 years sitting in the open. That's dog food. That's what we give our dogs. Why don't you put actual nutrition on your dog's food? Sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. All the vitamins and minerals and probiotics and everything your dog needs to live a long, happy life. Call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? roughgreens.com/Jesse. Get a free jumpstart trial bag. Give it to your dog. See what your dog thinks. All right? And yes, they have Meow Greens for cats. Enough of that. Let's do Medal of Honor Monday. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.